Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, the latest on health and healing. What is the best age to really see people begin to change? I'll share that with you. Also, I'm going to give you the newest information on the Mediterranean diet. Also, what antioxidants can do for your pancreas. A more in-depth analysis of PQQ. I had a discussion earlier this week on my program about PQQ. It's a major energy enhancer. And I'm going to talk in-depth about that, sharing some new information from Michael Downey. Also, the epigenetics of preventing breast cancer. I'll be sharing insights from Alexander Johnson and my own commentary. Then we're going to take a look at the cancer lobby from Nicholas Kristof. Why? Because if we were really honest as a society, if we had agencies of government like the FDA and U.S. Public Health Services that cared about us, probably half the food that we consume would have been banned. At the very least, we would have been told that independent science shows this is bad. Well, why isn't anything ever banned anymore? Because of the cancer lobby. I'll get to that. Also, from our environmental section today, I had hoped I'd get to it last week, but I didn't have a chance. I'm going to give you an in-depth analysis of HARP and how it is causing destructive weather patterns. And is there any connection to the Hurricane Sandy and HARP or any other major extreme weather event? Carolina Wright from Natural News will share information. If time permits, I'll talk about the overwrought empire, how we're not quite as exceptional as we'd like the world to believe. And of course, because this is our talkback program, in about 15 minutes, I'll open our line for you to call in. Any questions, you're welcome to ask. Any issues you'd like to address, please share them. Be happy to answer that for you. My only criteria is this. If you're going to ask a question that has a very simple answer you could find for yourself, then please look it up for yourself. Hold the difficult questions for me. I'm happy to address them. Let's begin. Well, first up, there's always this question about when should people change? Every day in my office, people come in. And I'm always talking with people about what's wrong with them. Now, today, the most common conditions I'm faced with are diabetes, including in young people, being overweight or obese. And more often than not, it's as a percentage, it's almost twice as many women as men. Premature aging, which is in almost everyone I know over the age of 40. High blood pressure. Very extreme in people of color. Dementia, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's. Almost everyone over 60 to 70 has some of the dementia, memory loss. Heart attacks, heart disease, and cancers. And that fills up most of what I have to deal with daily. The question is why? Is it easier for people to change at one age versus another? The latest insight on this comes from a study from Ohio State University. Let me quote it. Here's what they say. The early 50s may be key time to reach baby boomers with health messages. For baby boomers, the peak interest in health issues comes about 51 years of old, with a second peak coming near 65. Results may help doctors and other professionals target this generation with health messages at a time when they are most receptive to hearing them. The study, based on a survey of people from a wide range of ages, showed that people in their late 40s had the lowest level of interest in health issues. Interest rose quickly, however, and peaked right after age 50, and then peaked again after 65. Now, I didn't say why, but because I've done so much work in anti-aging medicine and over 30 years, and because I've counseled tens of thousands of people, I've written, my newest book coming out in the spring, and a major special for PBS Television's on aging. I'm always asking people, why is it you're now deciding to deal with it? Here's why 50. Because at 50, people finally have to acknowledge, like it or not, that they're on the backside of their mortality, that they don't have another 50 years of life to experiment with. And it's confusing because just today, just this afternoon, I was counseling a woman. She is 42, and she's now going through perimenopause. Now, perimenopause is before menopause, but some of the symptoms are the same. Erratic periods, then sometimes missing a period for 1 month or 2 months, and it comes back, then it's lighter. And then changes in the weight, not eating more, but gaining weight. Hair beginning to thin, energy down, sleepy, tired, a lot, more susceptible to infections. Now, I've known this person probably for about 15 years, and now this person is actually wanting to do something about it. Why? Why now? Because she's feeling like she's over 50, even though she's just over 40, but she's finally realized that all that she did with not paying attention to her diet and drinking what she wanted, smoking what she wanted, doing just about anything and everything because she was an athlete, she was healthy, or at least physically healthy, meaning her musculature was healthy. She thought that she was invincible. And a lot of people in their 20s and 30s, they just don't think about health because up to that point, their body can pretty much repair itself, but it's at enormous cost. They don't realize that what their body has to do every day, once they come in the evening and they've been out social drinking, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the brain, have lost well over 1 million cells each. And now they're toxic. Their body is highly acidic. The sensitive lining of their esophagus and stomach and intestine has been burned, because alcohol will burn the sensitive mucous membranes. For example, if you just put alcohol into a sponge and held that to your lips, see how long it takes before your lips begin to burn. Well, now imagine that alcohol goes into your body and it's burning your esophagus, burning your stomach, burning your intestine. It doesn't stop burning. And it creates a great deal of toxicity. Also, it destroys folic acid, vitamin C, B6, and B12. When those are destroyed, then you get a silent killer in the body called homocysteine. It's an inflammatory agent. It rises. The higher up you get, like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, with homocysteine, the more likely you are to have a heart attack or a stroke or cancer. And yet you never feel it. In fact, the first time you know you have a problem may be when you have a heart attack or stroke. Now, it used to be people never thought about heart attacks, strokes, or cancers in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. It was always older. Now, it's common. Diabetes is common. So what has happened is that when you tell someone, it took you 30 years of bad living to finally hit a wall. Do you think you have another 30 years to reverse it? The answer is no. You won't make it. So you have to do quantitative healing. You have to, or quantum healing. You have to stop this. Well, okay, I'll do a little bit at a time. I'll give up one of my bad habits, or I'll do less of that bad habit. Hence the whole argument, well, I don't drink that much, or I don't smoke that much, or I don't eat that much sugar. That is a completely supercilious and foolish argument, because to the cells that are working on your behalf 24/7, always on your behalf, every single thing you do that's wrong, they end up having to repair the damage now, but they're not going to be those restorative chemicals later. So you simply use up your reservoir. Also, you're more likely to have local focal infections. So now you get an infection in your gums or your sinuses or your intestine, and then you can't withstand a cold or flu. You're far more likely, once your immune system takes a dip, to be sick on a chronic basis. So what we're seeing is people try to deceive themselves, thinking as long as I can get to 50, as long as I look all right, as long as I feel all right, then I beat the odds. I'm okay. Also, up through 50, most people are still engaged in raising their family, getting their kids through college, because many people start having families later in life. They're looking towards the second part of their career, when their home is no longer mortgaged, they're no longer excessively in debt, and they start looking at the joyful things they want to do when they have more quality time, except for about 275 million Americans, that scenario no longer is valid. Today, most people are financially stressed, and most people are sick. Every single statistic I can find shows that the majority of Americans suffer from one or more illnesses. Overweight, that's an illness. High blood pressure, heart disease, chronic inflammation, resulting in arthritis or fibromyalgia, migraines. This is the new norm. So, we are a very sick nation. And we've lived in denial. And we keep kicking it down the road. I'll get to that. I'm going to get on a really good diet. You know, I'm going to go to one of those detox places. I'm going to start exercising regularly. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give up some of the bad stuff in just another year. I just don't have the time or patience for it right now. I got a kid in school. I've got another kid at home who's got problems. I'm having problems. And suddenly a person postpones what is most important, their health. And then they hit the crisis. So once you hit 50 and you look in the mirror and you look at old photographs and you say to yourself, oh my goodness, was it just 5 years ago I didn't have any obvious grays or wrinkles? I still had a strong libido. Still had my period if you're a woman. Still was able to get an erection if you're a man. Still had some muscle mass. And now you look at yourself and you've changed. And almost always for the worst. Because we wait so long. We make everything else more important than 100% commitment to our health. We'll give a 5% or a 10%. 95% of the people listening to this audience right now, which is the largest audience in American history listening to health programs. This has been on the air a long time. There was a time when there was Carlton Fredericks in my audience. And Carlton Fredericks, his audience were older people. And his diet was a very unhealthy diet, as was Adele Davis, in my opinion. Well, we had a young audience that time, and more holistic. But as time goes on, people get comfortable. And they get comfortable to the place where they will listen to information, but it doesn't mean they're going to actualize it. I see this all the time. People coming to my lectures generally have been listening for a long period of time, and yet overweight, out of shape, all forms of illnesses. So clearly the fact that a person is exposed to information doesn't mean that they're going to take advantage of it. I wish they were. I'd like to see everyone really actualize more. And that's why I saw that just talking about health is not the answer, because unless you talk about behavior, you're not going to have a person paying attention to their health. So how many people are really healthy in America? My best research, based upon how many are vegan, healthy vegans, how many eat organic, how many exercise regularly, how many try to de-stress, how many even try to find lifestyles or places to live that are more healthy, about 3% of the American population. And you can say, well, wow, that's not very encouraging. And I'd say just the opposite, because that's twice as many as 20 years ago. And the difference is that now we have no choice. We must start to change. We got to pay attention to the environment. We got to pay attention to our physical health. Because my generation, the baby boomers, we can't disguise the fact that we're getting older. We can't hide the fact that we're not going to be forever youthful. And that's scaring people. It's depressing people. It's discouraging people because they know that cosmetic surgery is a superficial approach to it. They know that that taking medications like tranquilizers won't make a difference. They know that escaping in some form of alternative lifestyle will not change them. So what's that leave? It just means authentic change, just starting over. So I'm saying I would rather work with 10 million Americans, 10 million, that's more than live in New York City, who have really committed themselves to health and are very vital and very positive, very upbeat, and are not afraid to make quantum leap. You say, give up the dairy, no problem. Give up the meat, done. Give up the French fries and the hot dogs and hamburgers and the pizza, no more. The soft drinks and the caffeine, gone. Artificial sweeteners, pesticides and food, gone. Start to exercise 6 days a week, an hour a day, doing it. Spend some quality time meditating. Now, whose life are you going to live from this moment out? Your own. Great. Live an authentic life. Then, where do you want to live? Where's the best places to live? That's the answer. Where are the best places to live? Not, oh my God, my family's been here for, you know, forever. I can't move. But you're right on the water. I know, but it can't be that bad all the time. Yes, it is. Hurricane Sandy will be considered the least problematic storm in the future. Everything else is going to get quantitatively worse. I'm going to deal with this on tomorrow's show and explain why. So for those who really care about their health, and they hit 50, up to that point, most have been, at best, doing little bits and pieces of healthy things. Bits and pieces, because it was their marriage, their career, their family that came first. Now at 50, they have to put themselves first. And if they don't, and they manage to get through until 65, when they get 65, when they file for Social Security, and they're officially a senior citizen, and suddenly that whole concept, you're a senior citizen, and you think, oh my God, when I was growing up, a senior citizen was everybody with white hair and illnesses and generally had a loss of memory, and they were lucky if they lived to be 70. Well, we have a whole new approach. We don't have to be 60, 65, and be old. That's the joyful, positive news. So that's why so many people delay making any constructive changes until 50, or 65. And the sooner you make that change, the better it's going to be for you. Here are some of the latest in health information. This is from the peer reviewed journal Gut. It says, a high antioxidant diet could lower your risk of pancreatic cancer. And this is done at the University of East Anglia. And Cambridge University. They looked at 23,000 participants in this particular study, and they all had to complete food diaries over a period of time, and they found that those who had the highest amount of vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, and zinc had the least pancreatic cancer. So that's good news there. And also, the newest study from the Journal of Nutrition evaluating 15,000 individuals over a long period of time found that the Mediterranean diet, which as we know is a very healthy diet, lots of fruits and vegetables organically grown, generally locally, taking your time eating, not overeating, lots of grains, lots of beans and bean dips and bean purees, some fish, they live an average of 6.8 years longer, so they don't die at the same level. And that's the latest study. That's a good reason to switch to a Mediterranean diet. By the way, there are other lifestyle modifications that can also increase your lifespan. So when you add in the vegan lifespan of 10 years, the Mediterranean diet of 6.8, and then look at the individual highest levels of vitamin C and concentration, the highest level of polyphenol in your blood, that's another 6 to 7 years. You could easily add 20 years onto your existing life. 20 years. That makes a big difference. Now, if you have not enough vitamin D, over a 12-year period, you have a greater risk of dying, according to the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So all the more reason to start taking your vitamin D. Also, if you have higher levels of vitamin B1, I'm suggesting 25 to 50 milligrams, B6, 25 to 50 milligrams, according to this study published in Clinical Nutrition, you could live longer, and you have over an 8-year period, you'll be less likely to die from any cause. That's another good one. And coenzyme Q10 plus selenium reduces cardiovascular deaths in a trial that was published in the International Journal of Cardiology. So that's good information also. And a couple more here. We know that if you want to prevent breast cancer, vitamin B6. This study from scientists at Cancer Epidemiology Program, University of Hawaii Cancer Center, showed that vitamin B6 reduces your risk of breast cancer substantially by at least 30%. That's great. And then if you have multiple sclerosis, an herb that we have not considered before but now is showing really important results according to the Journal of Immunology at the University of Alberta, saffron, S-A-F-F-R-O-N. That's a Persian, very important, a Persian herb. It's a spice. If you use it, it can turn off neuroinflammation, including helping with multiple sclerosis. Quote, we found there's a compound in saffron called crocin, C-R-O-C-I-N, that exerts a protective effect in brain cell cultures and other models of multiple sclerosis. It prevented damage to cells that make myelin in the brain, so said the chief researcher. And finally, supplementation with curcumin prevents progression to diabetes among pre-diabetics. Now, we probably have 60 million pre-diabetics. We have about 25, 28 million diabetics. So by including curcumin, I would suggest 3 times a day, maybe 1,000 milligrams. That can help you tremendously. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and nutrition. We're going to take a brief break, come back, and now I'm going to open up for your calls. This is the Talk Back program. No guest, but your calls now at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And I will give you the latest on HARP from our environmental segment. Also give you the latest on the cancer lobby and our in-depth discussion, a little more deep than anything else, will be on PQQ. I did something last week. A lot of people wanted more information, so I'll give you more. I'm video streaming as well as broadcasting from our studios in New York City. You're listening to my program over the Progressive Radio Network on our sister stations, WPFW in Washington, BAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, and stations throughout the United States, and we're also heard in over 140 countries. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way. escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines, sister, and picket signs, sister. Don't punish me, sister, with brutality. So you can see, oh, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on.
Hey, welcome all of you, I'm Gary Nall. We're going to go to our calls in a moment, but I want to give you a little bit more insight and more in-depth of how to have more energy. It's called PQQ. And what it does, it activates cell signaling pathways that have, I believe, the direct application of reversing cellular aging. Now, according to Michael Downey, PQQ, by the way, has previously been shown to promote growth of new mitochondria. That's crucial within aging cells and upregulating cell metabolism. That could help people who are gaining weight. That means you'd have more energy, be less tired, that you would have a better workout, especially if you are a distance athlete or a cyclist or someone who puts in a real vigorous, let's say, hour. You would be able to continue that longer, and you would have greater repair of your DNA that is damaged during your workout. Now, these are some of the synergistic signaling effects that help us at the subcellular level. Now, PQQ has been found in all plant species ever tested, and scientists have gone so far as to state that PQQ may be vital to life. Now, scientists have found that PQQ is a critical coenzyme. It plays a leading role in boosting critical cell signaling mechanisms. And these signaling pathways regulate a variety of physiological and molecular processes throughout the body, processes that have an impact on key biomarkers of aging, such as your mitochondrial function. Now, think of it this way. What do you notice as you get older? You get tired quicker. You have to sleep more. You have less energy to do anything. And that can be substantially dealt with PQQ. And also, through all the effects that it has, it also reduces oxidative stress. And new research confirms that humans can obtain these multiple benefits after just even short-term use, I would say 20 milligrams a day, and suddenly you could increase your cell signaling activity, and that translated in substantial protection against degenerative or age-related conditions like mitochondrial dysfunction, heart deregulation, brain injury, and cognitive decline. Since PQQ cannot be synthesized by your body, it's necessary to obtain PQQ from outside sources. And that's important. By the way, early studies revealed that animals deprived of PQQ exhibited signs of accelerated aging in the form of elevated plasma glucose concentrations, your sugar levels up, which is bad, and impaired oxygen metabolism and stunted growth and compromised immunity and impaired reproductive capability and reduced numbers and survival rates of offspring. So that's why we paid attention to what it might do in humans. It's also linked to on cell development and metabolism. And so people have underactive thyroids, that could be very important. And since we now know that it can help reverse cellular aging, it stimulates spontaneous growth of new mitochondria within aging cells. It regulates gene expression. It promotes tumor cell death from the point of view of having the cells die that are cancer cells. What is called apoptosis. And it supports mitochondrial protection repair. And it's very powerful as an antioxidant. In fact, it has up to 5,000 times the effect of other antioxidants protecting the brain cells and neurotransmitter systems against neurotoxicity and amyloid beta protein, which builds up when you have Alzheimer's. It helps your heart because PQQ cell signaling activities produce measurable health improvements, especially cardioprotective and neuroprotective benefits. For example, research with animals found that supplementing with PQQ decreases the size of the area of the heart injured by acute cardioartery blockage. And this protective effect was found whether PQQ was given before or after the event, suggesting taking PQQ within the first hours following a heart cardiac event, like a heart attack, can help the heart regain strength. And it also lowered lipid peroxidation, and that's very important. So one of the things I would definitely suggest for everyone in this audience, if you want a healthier brain, a more vital brain, a healthier heart, a more vital heart, want to diminish cognitive impairment, because scientists have shown PQQ can reverse cognitive impairment caused by oxidative stress. And it also protects against a pathological gene protein associated with Parkinson's. So, all good, nothing bad with PQQ. Let's say hello to Brent from Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Brent. You're on the air.
You doing, sir?
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I just had surgery Friday, and I've been on a liquid diet, so I think it, maybe I can fast. And could you give me some things to do to get the medicine out of me, and what steps should I take now?
Okay. What type of surgery did you have?
It was a fistula surgery.
Mm-hmm. And what is your current medical protocol?
Well, he gave me a lot of medicines, but I've just been taking one pain pill now. And I've been feeling pretty good. I'm not taking all that other stuff.
Okay, well, I can't tell you what to do if you're on an existing medical protocol post-operative. What I can do is this. Wait until your doctor tells you that the pain is gone enough so you don't have to take your pain meds. The antibiotics, I'm sure he has you on, where there's no longer a chance for local infections at the site of the surgery. And then reach out to me, because at that point, I could then give you a post-operative protocol to help you heal. But I don't want to do that now, because he may have you on a medication where the nutrient I would suggest, the food I would suggest, be counterindicative. So generally, the fistula is not a major procedure, and generally, people heal rather quickly. So in another week or two, that's the time to get back to me, and then I'll be happy to give you a protocol, all right? All the best to you. Let's say hello to Mia from Santa Barbara, California. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, Gary. Thank you so much for all the amazing work you do.
Yeah. What do you do out there in Santa Barbara?
I listen to you.
On KPFK? Or
and,
on Progressive Radio?
Both.
All right.
Yeah.
Because for those of you who are listening over KPFK, every Wednesday morning from midnight to 6 on the West Coast, from 3 a.m. to 9 on the East Coast, for almost 30 years, I've been doing a six-hour show. So I hope people have a chance to tune in. Now, how can we help you?
I have a very dear brother who has been dealing with a very severe case, painful case of shingles,
mm-hmm.
or herpes zoster.
Yeah, herpes zoster.
He's had it for over a month now, and he's afraid that it may possibly be turning into post-herpetic neuralgia.
Okay, let's see if
and
we can help him.
He's taken several of the conventional antivirals, and they have not been very effective at all in reducing the symptoms, the pain or the symptoms or the longevity.
Sure. For anyone in the audience who's not familiar with shingles, it's also called herpes zoster, Z-O-S-T-E-R, and it's caused by the varicella zoster virus. By the way, that's the same identical virus that causes chickenpox. And what it does, it impacts in a very severe way your nerve endings and in the skin, and it can be extraordinarily painful. And it can appear, by the way, anywhere on the body. On the abdomen, on the back. I've seen it on the legs in people.
He has it on his face.
On his face? All right. Well, that's going to be, most adults have already contracted chickenpox, and this common childhood disease causes a fever and a rash, as we all know who've had it. And however, once the varicella zoster virus enters the body and has caused chickenpox, it doesn't go away. One of the reasons that ozone would be my very first therapy. And I don't know if you can get ozone out there on the West Coast, but that would be my first therapy. I also, almost always, your body reacts to stress by stimulating hormone levels, and that can cause an outbreak of shingles. It also can cause an outbreak of herpes of any kind, 1, 2, and 6 as well. So stress over work, if you're using different types of medication, all those, especially the corticosteroids or cyclosporin. Now, what do you do? Well, first thing I would do is immediately I would suggest he starts really loading up on L-lysine. L-lysine, L-Y-S-I-N-E. Capsules, probably in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 7,000 milligrams. And I would take a lot of vitamin C to go with that. Then vitamin C intravenous. I would start at 30,000 milligrams for tolerance and then take it up quickly to 50,000, 7,500,000, providing that the doctor is experienced and knows what they're doing. Then I would take bioflavonoids orally, quercetin. Quercetin at 2,000 milligrams, 4 to 6 times a day. Then beta, B-E-T-A, 1,3-D-glucan, G-L-U-C-A-N. That's very important for viral and fungal infections. 100 milligrams of the B-complex, possibly 3 times a day for the first week, because that's needed for nerve health. And then zinc would be important. Garlic, probably 5 times a day. I would use a liquid garlic, about a teaspoon to a tablespoon. Then SAMe, vitamin A, vitamin D3, vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, and then for about 3 days, colloidal silver, both applied topically and as well as taken internally. I would take the essential fatty acids, DHA, 3 times a day, and I would also take coconut oil, and I would apply coconut oil also topically. A combination of colloidal silver and coconut oil is very healing, taken internally and externally. And I would also use the maitake defraction, nareshi extract, and shiitake extract. And then I would take astragalus root and echinacea. That boosts the immunity. And there is a tea that's used in traditional Thai medicine called Bipayawaya, B-I-P-H-A-Y-A-W-A-Y-A-W. Also cayenne, which is contains what is called capsicum, cap, C-A-P, si, S-I, cum, C-U-M, capsicum. And it has a substance, it converts into a substance called capsaicin, which relieves pain, it as in healing, but not topically, only internally. And then green tea has very strong antiviral activity. And then the green juices. Now the green juices I would suggest be top of the list would be green apple, with celery and lemon, and then watermelon with lemon, lime, and grapefruit. So that would be my first approach. And then if you can get the intravenous vitamins and what can really kill the virus is ozone. But, and here's my caveat, I produced a very important documentary, even redid it this year, because I managed to film the dean of all ozone therapists, Dr. Bucci, in Italy. And then I went to the Houston, was in Houston, I went to the International Biooxidative Conference, where the people were there to talk about ozone. You have to be checked when you're getting ozone on a minimum of a monthly basis for your blood work to check your viral titers. Otherwise, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, some ozone therapists, in my opinion, are exploiting their patients, having them come too frequently, just because it's profitable. It's just greed. And unfortunately, never testing their blood. So how in the world would someone know if they still needed it? And also in the process, not giving him proper nutritional protocols, so these people's veins are getting sclerosed, making it very difficult for them to use a vein in the future. So only go to a physician, and it should be someone who does insist upon a mandatory blood chemistry so that you know you're not overdoing it. Hope that helps you. All the best. Mia from Santa Barbara.
Thank you so much.
And let's say hello to Rashid from Long Beach, California. Hi.
Hi, Rashid. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Gary, I've taken up your wisdom, and I've started to juice. I've been concentrating on celery and beetroot and a couple of other items. My question for you, sir, is what's the proper technique of storage? What's the shelf life of a juice product? And is there anything you can add to it that might prolong its nutritive qualities?
All right, well, there have been a lot of myths about juicing. One of the most common myths is that you've got to drink a juice within 7 minutes or you lose the hydrogen bonds. That's complete nonsense. I have tested the biochemistry of juices in the lab repeatedly. My suggestion is you make all your juices one day a week. Let's say you're most relaxed and your greatest opportunity is on a Sunday. Make several gallons of juice. Then divide it into how much you want each day. Then freeze all that. But before you do, put what is approximately 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C per quart and the juice from 2 lemons per quart. Shake it up, put it in the freezer, and only take out at night one canister that you're going to consume the next day. It'll defrost overnight, and you have that all day, and it's going to be fresh. So you won't lose any potency whatsoever. All right?
Thank you, Gary.
All the best to you, Rashid. From Louisiana is Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hello there, Gary. I hope this is a question that is not too simple, and so let me get to it. I want to know, since I live in an apartment complex, is there any kind of a generator that I can get that they won't allow me to have propane? So I was just thinking, since you know about this, maybe you could give me a clue as to what other types of generator I might be able to get.
Let's back it up for a moment and fill it in with the right context. Where do you live in Louisiana?
Oh, actually, it's Los Angeles. I live in L.A., so I guess you got it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But I live, this is earthquake country too, you know, but I live near Culver City, if that'll help you.
All right, I know the area. Okay, first, if you're going to have a generator, the only generator you should have is a propane. For a simple reason, because you can get large propane tanks. I'm suggesting 2,000 to 3,000 gallons and put them in your backyard above ground. You should also have your generator itself about 6 to 10 feet off the, and with steps leading up to it. So no matter what kind of flooding happens, your generator will stay on. Also, that's a time when if you know a storm's coming, then the most prudent thing to do is to move your belongings out of harm's way or move them upstairs. There's no reason that your furniture should be flooded. Now, if you get gas or diesel, that can run anywhere from 5 or 6 hours to a day. Then you have to get more backup gas. Unless you're going to have in a safe storage that is non-flammable, 100 gallons of backup fuel that could last you then a week or longer, and leave your generator on half a day, turn it off a half a day, and only allow on what is necessary, water pumps and your refrigeration. And that way, at least, you're not running everything and using up your fuel quickly. But then you have to ask the larger question. Los Angeles has no natural water sources for itself. It has to get its water from the Little Colorado and from the meld-off that comes over 480 miles down through the old canal system. Your time for an earthquake is now. You don't have time in the future. It is overdue, in fact. There's been, just go around the Pacific Rim. you're part of that Pacific Rim. There's no geological survey that says you're protected. Look at the earthquakes that have happened in Japan this past year ago, and then look at them in New Zealand, Australia, and South America, down in Chile. So it's not, are you going to have a major earthquake? It is just when, and then how far down from the Alaska coast in Seattle area, Portland area, Northern California, clear down. And you've got at least five nuclear power plants are right in the line of that, because power plants have to be on the ocean or in a lake or river because they have to have a constant source of water. The trouble is a lot of the water now is so hot, they've actually had this summer to turn off nuclear power plants for a day or two because the water was too hot. And so you're running into all kinds. You're running into constant burn. California is always in a burn state. You're in an earthquake state, and you're in a rising water and hurricane state. Which of those coming up should be of concern to you, or including the solar storm that could knock out your electricity? So I would suggest that you start to look at other places to live. And I mean that because it is my absolute belief, based upon my knowledge of the environment, that what we just experienced will be considered the mini-me of extreme events. We're now going to get into a continued global warming. How do we know this? It's simple. Don't believe the scientist, because you can hire scientists to tell you anything you want. All you have to do is follow the money trail. Instead, look for true evidence. Look at the satellite and photographs of how far back our glaciers have melted. It took 100 years for one major glacier to melt over 2 miles. In the last 9 years, it has melted over 2 miles, and it's accelerating. The largest calving, meaning the breaking off of ice sheets falling into the gorges into the ocean, happened just a year ago, and it was about half the size of Manhattan. Now that's just one ice caving. You're talking about something that's 600 feet high that was almost 6 miles long, just broke off. It took about 75 minutes, turned upside down, went into the water. That's accelerating. It's frightening when you see how far back. And that means new water into the ocean. That means thinning up of the ice caps. And if you thought Niagara Falls was bad, I could take you to places on the ice cap in Greenland where you have waterfalls over the whole island or over the whole continent that are worse than Niagara Falls. And that means that water goes down to the base, hits rock, and then acts like a skid, a slippery way of getting the rest of that slanted whole ice cap to go into the water. So we have a terrible situation with global warming. The waters are rising. That causes a warming. The warming is causing greater acceleration of storms, and we just saw that. So I think we'll see a Category 2 or Category 3 hit the East Coast next year. And it will do 5 times the damage that we saw this one do. So my suggestion is that we look for better places to live. All the best to you. Let's go over and say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Well, I continue to get emails and phone calls from the people who attended your PFW fundraiser last Sunday down in Washington, D.C. And I have Robin from Beltsville writes, I brought my mom to your lecture for the PFW fundraiser, and my mom was expecting a very serious and intense lecture. We were blown away by how funny you are. You had them laughing hysterically the whole afternoon. She said that my mom couldn't believe that 7 hours had passed from the time that we first watched the first DVD to the time that you actually finished your lecture. She said the time just flew by. and you hardly stopped for that long. And she says, and afterwards, there was a line outside to get books signed, clear around the block. And we were listening to people's comments while we were in line. And she wants you to know that down in Washington, you have a large family of people who care about you. And she says, it was also very clear that you loved all of us. And she says, and by the way, thank you for writing a very special inscription for my mom. And that's Robin from Beltsville.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It was a big group of people. And I haven't been in Washington to lecture in a while, so it was a fun day for me, too. We have time for one more, Luann.
Okay. Let's see what we have here. I'm getting tons of emails. All good, though. Let's see. How about this? This comes from Eileen. She said, my friend Judy used to go to some of the dance parties that you held for your audience, and she raved about what kind of dancer you were, hot and sassy. She said, I just watched a video from 25 years ago. She said, wow, did I miss out? And she asked, when are you having your next dance?
I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful to have it to inaugurate a major new book in the next 4 weeks or so. And I want to thank the people for sending me videos. Some are a little crude, meaning they're just, you know, there wasn't any lighting as such, and they're a little wobbly. But I've gotten a lot of videos of my day. I've done over 50 dance parties to celebrate generally the publication of a new book and throughout the years. And so we're putting them up, and we have two of them up, and tomorrow we're putting three more up on Gary Noll TV. If you go to GaryNoll.com and then Gary Noll TV, we got them there. And it's, for me, it was fun to look at all the different faces. And there's, I'm going to guess, 5,000 to 6,000 people in just the first two dance parties. They're huge dance parties. So you get a chance to look at, see if you can find yourself if you came to any of the parties, and if not, to see the how much fun. I noticed also, I was watching one this afternoon. I just put it in, I was take a moment watching it. People were laughing, having a great time. So that was also something. There was no drinking or smoking or drugs. They were just nice people coming together of all ages and backgrounds and just enjoying camaraderie. And I think that's something that's missing today, where healthy-minded people, happy-minded people can go and celebrate life with other people. I wish there were more places doing that. They're not right now. So I'll do another party in the very near future, probably in the next 6 weeks. Luann, I'm looking at the clock, and we're out of time. I'm going to thank you. And give them your phone number, by the way, Luann, those who would like to reach out to you to share their thoughts.
Surely. My home office is 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. Or you can email me at whnn@aol.com. whnn@aol.com.
Thank you, Luann. And I will deal with HARP and the cancer lobby and some of these other issues on tomorrow's program. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow.